This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon. It is Back Row and Chill on FUBAR Radio. I am pumped. I've had a little bit too much sugar, or maybe not enough. I don't know. I'm joined today by the lovely
Sophie Craig. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
We've got a packed show for you. We've got lots and lots of guests. A lot of theatre people. We've got a lot of people from the West End coming in.
Darling.
Talking about that very highbrow. Highbrow and
highbrow society.
The highbrow society. Yes, we'll be chit-chatting to all of those guests very shortly. But first, we thought we'd crack off with a bit of entertainment news. I could do that, or we could have the official.
I like my version.
Entertainment news. Let's just like dive straight in, I think.
Go on in. Dive right on
just
in there.
Just dive like into the deep end of a swimming pool, like Mr. Bean. Did you see that sketch?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's one of my favourite Mr. Beans of all time. It's when Mr. Bean, such a simple idea.
Oh, the holiday.
When he tries to jump from the top diving board in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
And he bottles it basically at the top, and then this little kid's behind him like, you've got to go. So he has to, and it just spends ages. It is comedy genius. Mr. Bean stands the test of time.
I've probably definitely seen it. I used to watch when I was little was Mr. Bean. Yeah. And then they brought out a cartoon of it as well. That's still
that
running. Have you seen
shit.
That?
Didn't yeah, like that.
No, it's very
can't
bizarre.
Have Mr. Bean without
it's just
the Bean.
Rowan Atkinson, the Bean.
The Bean, the original Bean. Right, so, okay, entertainment news. What is going on? There is going to be, talking about highbrow performances, if you're a fan of The Hunger Games, the concert tour is coming to the UK.
Well, about bloody time something happened with it. We were just talking about that before, weren't we? Hunger Games came, it went, goodbye.
And it happened. It's like, oh, that's gone and done and dusted.
But it's just amazing.
It's going to be revived with a 60-piece orchestra who are going to be doing the whole score so you can watch the movie with the music in the room.
Like War of the Worlds.
Exactly.
They do that all the time.
Well, they've done it to La La Land. They've done it to Jurassic Park. Is there any other movie that you'd like to see with a live score that they've not done?
Any of the Marvel movies.
Or the Harry Potter.
Oh, yes! Harry Potter.
That there, ladies and gentlemen, was a movie orgasm.
Oh my goodness.
And something so good.
That would be brilliant.
Can you imagine? You get there, you'd get the feels, you get tingles.
Oh my gosh, we'd have to wear all our capes and take your hat and your wand.
I thought you were going to say like we have to all wear like nappies in case we got so excited.
Well, and that too. I mean, a cape and a nappy. That's it. That's all you need in a wand.
Talking of nappies, the other day, a group of us went trampolining, didn't we?
Oh, we did, yeah.
And it was the first time in many a year, probably 10 years, since any of us had been on a trampoline. Mm. And I realised quite quickly that the old pelvic floor was not as firm as I remember. And
you are going to have trouble when you have children.
A little bit of pee came. I haven't even had any kids.
I know.
A little bit of pee. I wasn't the only one. There was a couple of others in the group.
Well, my fiancé's completely destroyed his ligament in his leg, hasn't he? He's been hobbling around for the last 2 weeks.
All of us, yeah. So if you're around the sort of late 20s, maybe just stop with the
trampolining. Don't go trampolining. We were definitely the eldest there. There was like a field of children when we arrived.
A field of toddlers and a group of us.
It was... embarrassing.
That sounds like a book. A Field of Toddlers and a Group of Us by DJ Lichtenstern. Yeah. Anyway, we've gone on right tangent. We've gone right round the garden. What were we talking about? Hunger Games, the concert tour.
Yeah.
Is coming to London.
I'd like to see that.
The tour will begin in Manchester on the 12th of July. And that's going to coincide with the 10th anniversary of the book. What?
What?
Where is the time going?
10th anniversary
since the Hunger Games books came out. I never read the book. I listened to the audio book.
The books are much better than the films.
Well, that's a lot of the time they are.
They're very, very good.
Apart from I prefer watching the Bible in a movie.
A little bit more condensed.
A little bit more condensed. Page 943.
Jesus walked through Nazareth. Okay, we get it.
I would actually pay for you to do the audiobook of the Bible. Who does the audiobook of the Bible?
Who's someone very patient.
Is it Morgan Freeman?
God.
God. He is actually God. He's God. in the movie world, isn't he? No one else can play God better than Morgan Freeman.
It's just so godly.
Right, so what else is going on? A Quiet Place, which I think it's out now, actually.
Yes, you went to the premiere. You got to go and interview, didn't you?
I got to go and interview Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. I should learn his name.
There we go. That's it. That'll do.
You know who I mean. They are a real life husband and wifey. And in the movie, they play husband and wifey. And the premise of this movie is just amazing. It's set in a world like a dystopian, post-apocalyptic future where creatures have come out of... Well, we don't know. The film doesn't reference that. Creatures have come to the Earth and taken out nearly all the human population because they hunt via sound. So if you make a sound, they can hear you, they'll find you, they'll kill you, they'll eat you.
Well, we would be absolutely fucked.
I know, we're so loud.
There we go. There it was.
So the movie's brilliant. It's tense. It's creepy. And it's about this family who have managed to survive because their teenage daughter is already deaf. And so they know sign language. And they have soundproofed their little farmhouse. So there's, there's a phone, Susan. That's probably mine. Sorry. And, yeah, so they've soundproofed their house and they're managing to survive quite well. Few minor incidents. However, the mum becomes pregnant and they're working out what the fuck they're going to do because she's about to give birth.
Oh, my God, yeah. I wasn't even thinking that. I was like, oh, gosh, they'll have to make sure the child's very quiet.
No, she's got to give birth. And they've also got to work out what to do with the baby.
Yeah, because the babies cry.
Well, what they did is they put it in a box with sound insulation and they gave it a mini little...
let it cry.
A little gas mask so that it was, like, asleep most of the time.
Right. Just drugging their child in a box.
But the alternative is the creatures come and eat it. So I prefer to drug my baby than have a creature eat it. Oh, rock and a hard place. But it's a brilliant movie. Emily Blunt is amazing. And I met her and she was really lovely. And she complimented my outfit. And I was like, it's all right, love. It was £10 from New Look.
Oh, you were wearing the pantsuit.
I was wearing my very new pantsuit.
Oh, it's lovely.
In a fresh salmon pink.
Very nice pantsuit.
And Emily Blunt complimented me on it. And
very nice. Thanks, Emily.
I should have said... Oh, thanks, Em. I should have just said... Thanks very much, Emily. I like your stuff too. But I got all like Deptford Market. I was like, it was a fiver, Emily.
It was fiver. Good off eBay. Second hand.
I didn't really keep my cool there. Shall I just go turn your phone off?
Is that mine? Is that what it is?
Let's have a look. Is it Emily Blunt?
It's Emily Blunt. She's just messaging me.
Okay, your phone is on silent. So
right.
It's just definitely mine.
So right. There we go. I'll do that for you, Johanna. Don't worry
Otherwise,
about
the creatures
it.
Are going to
Don't worry, guys. We're all
me.
Very live here, but we're just showing exactly why me and Johanna would die in that sort of film.
Is
so
that,
there
yeah,
we are.
It's brilliant. However, A Quiet Place...
Which we are not.
could have been a Cloverfield... movie. So the Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane, which came out in 2008. Oh my God, 10 years ago. What the F? Now that last year Netflix released The Cloverfield Paradox, which was a bit poopy. Mm-hmm. And apparently A Quiet Place could have lived in that universe. And I see why, because Cloverfield's all about these random creatures that come in and attack in. And the monsters in this movie are brilliant. And I can give you a little exclusive. Apparently, John Krasinski, who wrote, directed, and played the main guy in this movie.
Ah,
very talented.
Go Blank Hoko.
He also played the monster in a lot of the scenes. He was dressed up as the CGI thing.
Ah.
And apparently for the test audiences, they hadn't done the CGI yet, so they watched the film with John Krasinski in a nurse suit.
With balls on.
so scary. Oh my God. Oh my God. No, but watch the film. It actually is scary. It made me jump.
Right. That sounds great. That sounds really interesting.
Place. I do believe it's out now already. I do think so.
Very good. We'll go see it.
We're going to go see it. I'm really excited about that.
Oh, I wish I could have seen it when I got the invitation.
Well, you can go see it now.
I will.
It's got to pay about £17.50 in London to go see it.
Woo!
Oh, for a shade at Odeon.
Woo! I used to work there.
Oh, even more.
Woo!
Right, so Netflix have pulled from Cannes Film Festival. They've pulled all the movies out because there was a big fight last year saying Cannes, the prestigious Cannes Palme d'Or, the big
Cannes,
gold.
Cannes, Palme d'Or.
Palme d'Or. That was more Italian, I think.
I know, I don't know where we think
we are. No, it's not working. And the powers that be decided that Netflix movies were not official movies. You have to have a cinema release date for it to be an official movie. So anything made on Netflix couldn't be entered for competition, which is annoying because some things on Netflix are amazingly made, beautifully shot.
That's what I love about Netflix.
They are a movie.
They're just
Sorry that it hasn't been in a cinema. But technically, it's stupid because some of them, you can cheat that system. You just have to put it in a cinema for one day. Because I know I've heard about movies.
So could you just do a showing?
You can like do a showing in one cinema on one day and it will count as a cinema release.
And invite people to just come and watch it. So like a little screening, a little premiere.
Yeah. Just put it on and one person can buy a ticket. Or no one. It has a cinema screening then.
Wow.
And then you can have a Netflix movie which could be absolutely amazing and millions of people watch it and it won't count.
In Cannes at all?
No. I think there's a bit of a highbrow thing between cinema seats and sofas.
Yes. That makes sense, actually.
But I don't agree with it.
No. But everything's going that way.
Everything's going online, people.
Yes. Get with it. Yas Queen.
Yas Queen. Oh, mate, I saw that movie, the one with the Blockers.
Blockers, that's it.
Where
the butt chug.
John Cena... and a couple of other parents, they decide to stop their children, their three teenage girls, having sex on their prom night, and they decide to try and cock block them all night. And it's an amazing movie. I wet myself watching it. Not literally.
Not like the trampolines,
not
everyone.
Like the trampolines, no. But ever since that movie, I cannot stop saying Yes Queen.
Yes Queen!
Yes Queen! And the emoji, did you know that the emoji on your phone, the one that has the hands up in the air like this, that actually doesn't mean yeah, it means Yes Queen!
Well... I mean, does it actually, or is it just by that film that said it? Did the film just say, yeah, it means that? We'll go with it, because I enjoy it.
The official emoji library dictionary
says Yas Queen.
Says Yas Queen. And I've ruined it. I've ruined it for so many people. Now I tell them that, they can't not see it.
Because I was like, praise be upon us, praise the Lord. Or, I don't know, like, yes!
Yas Queen!
But Yas Queen! I love that so much.
I say it to men as well. I know, Yas Queen!
I've been saying it. It's like part of my vocabulary now, and it's quite terrible.
It's like dude. When the word dude first came out years ago.
Do you remember
dude!
The word Mingin?
Mingin, yeah.
Oh, that's Mingin.
There was a Chinese restaurant in Bromley called Ming.
Ha! I'm in Ming.
Oh, I'm just going to Ming. Great food, Ming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mingin.
Ooh.
Mm.
Ooh.
Right. Today, I forgot to tell you guys, I am playing all movie soundtracks, but I'm playing end credits of movies.
Very nice.
So there's a little bit of a theme today. So this song that I'm going to play for you guys now is from the end of, I do believe, Shrek 2 or 3. Bit of a weird move, but I've always loved this song. It's Holding Out for a Hero by Frou Frou on Back Row and Chill.
Approach like fire in my blood.
Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, you're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's Back Row and Chill. And I've got my first guest on the show. So welcome, Lucy Shorthouse. Can we have a little applause in here? Thank you. Yes, we can. Woo. Yes, queen. yeah, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
And oh, the applause is still going, obviously, West End. So you have, you're currently and recently been starring in the latest West End show. Everybody's talking about Jamie.
Yes.
Which is really, really exciting. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, it's at the Apollo Theatre, and we've been open since November, but it does feel so fresh and new still.
Yes, still new.
So it's about a 16-year-old boy who kind of wants to explore the world of drag, and the way he kind of wants to introduce that idea to people is going to school prom in a dress. Mm-hmm. And it's based on a true life story. It's on a BBC Three documentary. And just kind of trials and tribulations, how people accept him, how people might encourage him and celebrate him or not. And, great songs.
It is like a camp, fabulous production. Yeah. It's amazing. It's kind of like Billy Elliot on steroids,
yes.
I would say. It is fabulous. And the guy who played the Jamie.
He's so good.
He's incredible. And also just physically, he's so unusual looking and tall.
He's just beautiful. Like, his cheekbones, he's just got a model body. Like, he could wear anything and look amazing. But also, he's not, I think people forget, because he's so good as Jamie and he's so effortless in it, it is a part that he plays. I think people expect him to be just like that in real life.
Is he not like that at all?
No, he's a lot more kind of reserved, and he's like a true kind of actor. Like, he really... Yeah. He works very hard.
Does he do drag outside of Jamie?
No, he doesn't. No, but he can walk in heels so well.
Yeah, because
I forget,
like,
he's doing it every
I was
night.
Like, queen, seriously, yeah. I stack it every time every I wear heels. And his heels are like proper stripper 9-inch. Yeah, they're crazy. I liked it. I thought it was good. It was really current. Like, obviously, Billy Elliot is brilliant, but Billy Elliot is also dated because it was set in that time and around those issues. And now this play is, musical, is all about these issues today.
Yeah, and it's not a coming out story as well. I think that was really important. That,
yeah, he's already gay.
Yeah, about like 10, 15, 20 years ago, it would have been a coming out musical. And actually, no, that's taken as a given. He's been out since he was 13. This is about him kind of
exploring
gender neutrality and all that sort
becoming
of stuff.
Becoming me.
Yeah.
And so your role, you are his best friend
in
the show. How did you get that? Did you just go up for an audition?
Like, it was my first ever kind of professional job, was the workshop for the musical.
Whoa.
And I remember thinking, the description said, chubby Muslim. And I was like, oh, that's me. So it ended up being my first professional role. But because you do a workshop doesn't necessarily mean you'll get
role.
I thought, oh, they'll get someone who, because I never trained in musical theatre.
Did you not?
No. So I just thought, oh, they'll get someone who can really do all the high kicks and singing and stuff. But then I've been lucky enough to kind of stay with the team, although I had to, re-audition and stuff. Mm. But she's a lovely part to play. And I think it's important that, she's a girl who happens to be a Muslim, this character.
Yeah.
Her name's Priti Pasha. And you wouldn't maybe put those two together, their best friends, Jamie, this aspiring drag queen, and then this kind of
Muslim girl,
more reserved Muslim girl who wants to be a doctor. But actually, everyone knows those people in real life who you go, you don't. How did you become friends? But they're, seemingly opposite, but they just kind of mold together.
Yeah, it's really brilliant. And it seems so real. Like, it's all set in the schoolroom around the schoolyard, and it's kind of that, like, I saw people who went to my school.
Yeah,
and I was like,
yeah,
that boy was definitely in my school. That girl was definitely in my school. Or, like, that or maybe that was in my sister's year.
We get that response a lot, that actually people recognise those different... Because there are school kids, but... and they're an ensemble, but they each have their own kind of identity, and they still feel really nuanced on stage and stuff. And a lot of people have gone, I was that kid at school. Yeah.
That's brilliant. And so a bit about yourself. So you said this was your first, like, West End. Have you done any, what was your sort of acting history before?
So I kind of took a long route. So I went to Cambridge to study first, and kind of went there really naively, didn't know about the theatre scene and the Footlights and stuff like that. And I kind of fell back. I thought, oh no, I'll stay on the straight and narrow academic path. And then I kind of fell back into performing again. And then I went to drama school after that, because I thought I'd always think, what if?
Yeah.
And then, so I graduated from Italia Conti, just the acting side, not the jazz hands. And and then got Jamie. And then I've kind of been working
so 2.5 years since graduation, just doing odd things.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so this has probably been my biggest thing.
And so all you guys are playing school kids. Can I ask how old, like, roughly is everyone? Like,
we kind of vary. So the youngest is 19, the oldest is 30.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. But actually, when we're all in that uniform.
Yeah, because you're all in uniform.
Yeah, and we all mess around as well. So it's just, it feels like
your kids.
We've got that energy, yeah. And it's fun playing 16, but it would be nice. So I'm kind of in my 20s. It'd be nice to play something a bit more. So maybe my next role would take a bit more of a departure and play something a bit older. Yeah.
And like, how do you deal with nerves? Because you've got some big singing numbers in there. Big singing numbers.
Yeah. After the first, I always have every night. I go after my first sing, like proper singing number, I can relax. But I don't get that nervous, if that makes sense. I'm quite nervous and quite wired and anxious. In everyday life, but as soon as but as soon as I get on stage, I kind of get a bit calm.
Okay, yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
It's really weird, but yeah. it just happens.
You're a true performer.
Oh God, but we performed at the Olivier's on Sunday, and that was nerve wracking. We were all there like, because it was the Royal Albert Hall, but it was so fun.
I have to ask, don't you see gossip? Has anything ever gone wrong in a show? Like, what's
people just late on entrances. My hair came out of my hijab.
Oh, and people, because you're totally covered.
Totally covered. Yeah, and you know, and it's really part of her identity and her faith. And I had a strand of hair that was just like poking out, and people were like, eyes were like massive at me. And I was thinking, what's going on? Have I got have I got something on my face? And then it was in the toilet scene, which is quite an entertaining scene if you see the show. And John had to go, and he was like pushed it back, and I was like, oh no. But there's little things that happen, like little, people. Oh, my God. OK, I've got a big one. I fell off the desk and gripped the edge of the stage. And that was bad. That I really thought we were going to have to stop the show.
Plop into the audience.
Yeah, it was just the audience's faces when they thought I was launching at them. But I mean, I recovered. It was fine.
Look, I've paid £99 for this ticket. Yeah. I didn't think it was going to be an interactive
stage dive. Yeah.
Imagine Derek, catch up. And have you ever? So you've been with John. Have you ever had it where you've had an understudy fill in and you've had to do the show without John?
Yeah, that actually happened really recently, actually. And his name's Luke Bayer, and he's did a fantastic job. But they play the character very differently, which, as an actor, is a dream because you get to. It's something new, but yeah. So it was different, kind of getting used to a different kind of act on stage. But really, really fun. And that character is really it's the lead. It's the engine of the show. So
everyone's talking about Jamie.
Yeah. So how that actor decides to portray that character, it really does have a domino effect on everyone. So we really had to be present and listening. And but it was really fun.
So in the future, where do you daydream? Like, what's the goals?
I just hope I'm still working. I'm always like, what if this is my last job? Just want to keep learning. Hopefully a bit more TV, a bit more film. Because at drama school, you don't get that much chance to do all that. And it's a real skill and technique just to get on board with camera work.
I was also like, when I watched it, and I was like, I wish there was more characters like this seen every day on the TV, because I was so amazing that I got to go to the theatre, but I don't go to the theatre. Who can? And I was like, I wish there was more like really feisty, intelligent Muslim girls represented
exactly
in just pop up on screens and on TVs and adverts and banners. And
I've been seeing it a lot more actually recently, and I feel like. There was a River Island ad with hijabi girl, and then I was reading an article today about these hip hop hijabi artists and stuff like that. So it's becoming more and more of it, but it's still very niche. And I was very adamant that I didn't want Pretty to be seen as like a gimmick character. Let's put a token one in, and she's not, because the way she's how it's written, she's fully formed and very rich as a character, but. Hopefully we're going to see more of a shift. And
so you don't wear the hijab in your day-to-day?
That's no, just a character. No. So I don't practice any kind of faith, but I've got Muslim family as well. Right. So they were great to like get all the research and to do it right and sensitively, yeah.
Granny. Based on this character on you. That's really cool. Yeah, yeah. No, that would be fabulous. I think for sure you've got like a full career ahead of you. Fingers crossed. That's amazing. So let's have a little chit-chat about... what's going on in the world, because in the break you mentioned all this palaver going on with Kourtney Kardashian. The woman's given birth.
The Kardashian mess. I can't... But so apparently he cheated on her in October, and now it's all just emerging in the week that she's given birth.
Oh, of course. Oh,
so everyone's like, Kris Jenner has plotted this.
Wait, so that footage of her, of him kissing that woman, this week?
No, it's from October.
Oh.
So people are like, she's dug that out of the archives to coincide
of
with the...
Of course it is. To make sure the birth's all, like, theatrical.
Yeah.
Oh, she was probably a hired actress. Hired.
But it must be devastating to give birth to your first child and then...
It all comes out.
It
I
all
mean,
comes
that's
out.
Not what you...
The stress.
Oh, I saw a tweet and it said... It was like... Because what's his name? Tristan.
Tristan, yeah.
It was like, Tristan's broken his daughter's heart before she's even born.
Oh, it's true though, isn't it?
Tristan's been the first man to break his daughter's heart. I was like, oh, it's so true!
And on the internet, it lives forever. Like, you know... That you know, yeah. She's going to have
You're
access
on the Google.
To that. She's
You're
going to have
the
access
Google.
To that for the rest of her life.
Yeah, when she Googles yeah. her dad, that's what's going to come
good.
Up. Horrific stuff. And then there's all the memes as well, being like, good
oh,
night.
The memes are fantastic. Yeah, good night.
Good night, everyone, apart from Tristan.
And all the Lamar ones, that it's like him looking really smug. It's, I mean, I am enjoying the memes, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but oh, the whole, like, Kardashian circus, I'm a little bit like, when's it going to stop? You don't do anything. You just push out babies and push up your boobs, and that's all you do?
It's awful, but it's part of me invests so heavily into it, but then it's also everything I despise as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it's just, it's fascinating.
We've got
it's
a love-hate
circus.
Relationship. Yeah, yeah, it's basically circus freaks, yeah. isn't it? It's replaced that Victorian, before you'd go in and be like, oh, a bearded lady.
Yeah.
And now we're like, oh, look at her bum.
Yeah.
It's all fake. It is fake. It's 100% fake.
Oh, 100%.
I've seen all the analysing and the analytics.
The befores and the afters. Yeah,
for sure. It is 100% a fake bottom. Not, you know, saying the thing, bad would get a fake bottom, but come on, Kim.
Yeah,
do you
it,
have
yeah.
eyeballs?
Yeah.
Like, it's about the same size as you are high. Is your bum wide?
And she got into lots of trouble because she was posting all these bikini pics and everyone was like, how can you do this when your sister's just been cheated on? So she took them all down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you're really into
oh,
the Kim
Oh, no, it's
Kardashian.
Terrible. It's really bad, but...
That's all right.
You can know what?
Say
I was
it.
A fan from the beginning, though.
Oh, really?
Like, the very first season. I was like, who are these people? So it's been a long, it's a long running relationship I have with the Kardashians, but I am aware that it's terrible.
Yeah, no, it is. Maybe if you guys are listening and you want to get involved on our Twitter, make sure you're following at FooBar Radio. Let us know, tweet us. Are you a fan of the whole Kim K circus? Do you love to hate it? Is it a bit like Marmite? Where do you sit with that? Let us know. We will shout you out. Lucy, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming on. Everybody go and see Everybody's Talking About Jamie. It's Apollo Theatre. But the one on Shaftesbury Avenue, I nearly went to Victoria.
Yes, it's so easily done. So there's the Apollo Victoria, which is, I think it's got Wicked.
Yes.
And it also Hamilton's on that side of the
London.
And then, so we're on Shaftesbury yeah. Avenue, right in the centre of
I
it.
Gave myself loads of time to get up to the West End and I was heading towards Victoria. And then I double checked on my phone and was like, shit! And I ended up all flustered and arriving
sweaty.
There. Yeah, like, oh! So yeah, make sure it's the one Shaftesbury Avenue. Yeah. It's a gorgeous, glamorous night out, and you're amazing.
Thank you.
We're gonna do some more songs from the credits of movies. I think I'm gonna do just the classic, one of the most classic ever credit songs from The Breakfast Club. This is Don't You Forget About Me,
oh,
Simple Minds.
Troubles and doubts.
Crowe and Jill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Boom. We are halfway through the show on Back Row and Chill. I've got my second guest in the studio. I've got Gavin Spokes. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Amazing.
Yeah. Usually everybody ever says Stokes, but there you are. You got it right. Great.
Okay.
Well
no,
thank
it's
you.
Spokes. Spokes, like spoken word. Right, Gav is here. I'm just called you Gav.
That's all right. Don't worry. You call me what you want. No,
Gav
that's fine.
Is here. Okay, call you Susan. Susan, otherwise, aka Gav, is here to talk about Quiz, which is the new... It's relatively new.
Yeah, well, we did it last year in Chichester, and then it did well, and it's up in the West End now, and we had our press night on Tuesday.
Fabulous.
Yeah, at the Noel Coward Theatre in St Martin's Lane.
And it's staying there till how long?
June 16th we finish.
Okay,
yeah.
We've got quite a run.
Yeah, it's
quite
nice.
A little run. Now, Quiz, because I haven't seen it as of yet, but a good friend of mine did see it this week, and he was like, oh yeah, it's all about that whole, do you remember that whole Who Wants to Be a Millionaire scandal years ago about when a team went in together, but they pretended they didn't know each other?
Basically what happened was a chap called Charles Ingram went on the show, and his wife was in the audience, and they had another chap involved called Tekrin Whittock, who was accused of coughing on the right answers.
Oh yeah, so it'd be like, was it A,
yeah,
B?
Exactly. Yeah.
Definitely B.
So, and then they were called by the producers and said, we're taking the money back and we're going to pass it on to the police. And they went to trial 2 years later and they were found guilty.
And so is this a comedy?
It is. Well, it is a comedy, but it's an amazing piece. James Graham, who's written it, is the kind of man on fire at the moment. He had Ink and, what was the other play? Labour of Love. They were both next to each other in St Martin's Lane last year. Ooh. So he's got his finger on the pulse.
He's lit.
He is, exactly.
Literary
yes,
lit.
Yeah. And the play kind of examines the case and whether they had a fair trial or not.
Okay.
So the audience are an interactive part. They get to vote. There's a pub quiz.
Oh, I love a pub quiz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All shits
I've got
and
to
giggles.
The age
it's
where
lovely.
Instead of like saying, like, oh, should we go out? Me and my friends, I was like, should we go to the pub quiz?
Exactly. You know, you're getting older,
food.
Don't you? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We made the massive error. I don't know if you heard earlier in the show about going to the trampoline park. Never again. We tried to be young and we arrived there and it was a sea of toddlers and a group of like 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
So no, we like definitely stick to the pub quiz.
Pub quiz,
love
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
And you learn. You come away learning. Like, oh, I didn't know that the president of Croatia was a tap dancer.
Yeah. I mean, it's mentioned in the play that the two greatest loves in our country are drinking and being right.
Ooh.
So that's what basically a pub quiz is.
That's true. So you've come away very fulfilled.
Yeah.
So do you feel after, like, I mean, you do this every single night. It's the same questions every single night.
Yeah.
Is it hard to, like, I'd feel so hard not to jump the gun and be like, I know, it's C!
Well, we have to try and replicate more or less what happened on the show.
Oh, yes, of course, sticking to true.
And type with the script and different coughs. We reenact certain parts of the show, and then there's a lot of stuff that's back of their home life, because they had their horrendous life after they were found guilty as well.
Imagine winning all that money and then losing it. That's worse than never winning it in the first place.
What was even worse is that he put the money in an account and then the money was taken away, and he was £900,000 overdrawn in one of his accounts, and he was charged £680 interest in just one day.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, that kicks you in the bollocks as well.
£680, yeah, I know, because when you get an interest charge, it's like, oh no, £8, damn
it. Yeah.
That's my Burger King
nearly
gone.
A grand. Yeah.
Wow, that is bank. That's the bank biting your ass there. My gosh, so what are these people doing now?
Well, Diana, his wife, has a little jewellery business. Charles does the odd bit of this and that.
And you play Charles?
Yes.
You play the onstage version of Charles? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've got three daughters and they try and live quite a private life, really, because their life's kind of been ruined.
I can imagine. I bet they never go to the pub quiz. He'd be like, scarred.
Exactly. It's not the easiest place.
I feel that he'd probably have a little like nervous tick about coughing now as well.
I mean, everywhere they went for about 10, 15 years, people just cough at them. And one bloke coughed and then spat in his mouth. It was, awful. Oh, it was really grim. Yeah,
I mean,
really
some
grim.
People like that, but
yes.
Obviously not.
Yeah, some people pay for that, don't they?
Yeah. Ooh! So how did you get involved with Quiz? Did you know somebody in the production?
The director, Daniel Evans, I've known for a while, and I invited him to see a play I was in, and then he asked to meet me for this. For Quiz.
Oh,
and I never really thought I'd be up for the part because he's posh, he's a military guy, and I'm not posh.
But you can play posh.
Well, exactly. that's what happened. I had a meeting with Daniel, and Daniel actually commissioned Everybody's Talking About Jamie.
Oh,
Because he used to run the Sheffield theatres.
Okay. So oh, everyone knows everyone.
Yeah. He's got his fingers in lots of pies, but he's a brilliant man, and he's really got an eye on the pulse and what theatre needs to change.
Yeah. No, for sure. Keeping it like relevant and up to date. So, Quiz, so where is it on at the moment again?
We're at the Noel Coward and St Martin's Lane.
Noel Coward until June. Yeah. So get yourself down there if you even if you don't remember that, because we were just saying before, there's a generation of people who don't know Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
They never watched Chris Tarrant on TV. I mean, that even sparked other things like Slumdog Millionaire.
Exactly.
Came from the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thing.
Yeah.
We talked about the DVD. There was a DVD back when DVDs were all cool and trendy.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other themes involved. You know, it's what's truth? Who gets to judge us? Media's involvement with everything. Fake news. I mean, we're surrounded by fake news.
Hashtag fake news.
Exactly.
Have you seen this week, because I think we should mention it, oh my gosh, the Facebook live stream of Mark Zuckerberg being grilled by the Congress?
I've seen some of it, but I want to see it all.
I've seen some.
Do you look like a robot?
Yeah, I've seen all the memes of him looking like Data from
I've seen that
Starship
one. Yeah, it's
Enterprise.
Good.
And he is under some intense pressure. I mean, I would be looking like a robot and probably pissing myself as well if I was under Congress.
But if you had like 30 billion quid, you wouldn't be worrying too
it's
much.
Like, you've
would
lost
you?
A billion, Mark. It's like, cool. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, he wouldn't mind having a bank thing of a grand.
Exactly.
He'd be like, what? Can you imagine? I get excited when I find a fiver that I've left in my pocket from like last
exactly.
year. I'm like,
yeah, and
I'm
it
rich!
And it survived the wash.
Yeah, pub quiz on me, guys. Pub quiz on me. So that is really interesting. Get yourself on the internet or some sort of device and watch Mark Zuckerberg shit himself in front of Congress. But what's also funny, I saw the funniest edit today, and it was like Mark Zuckerberg trying to explain to old people what the internet is, because a lot of these Congress people are asking really stupid questions. It was
really?
Like, so if I sent an email on WhatsApp, could Facebook read that? And he's like, no, WhatsApp's encrypted, we can't see what's in Facebook. And he's like, but if I sent an email on WhatsApp about Black Panther. And I was like, an email on WhatsApp?
Yeah,
come on, get with it. If you're going to grill someone on
exactly.
the internet,
if you're in front of Congress, you need to be as up on it as
no, what
as
the fuck WhatsApp is, come on people. Yeah, so that's quite funny. They put some funny like plodding comedy music in the background. It's just really hilarious. So, I mean, are you on Facebook? How do you feel about the whole data privacy? Do you give a shit? Do you not
well,
give
I was
shit?
In I was in a production in 1984.
Ooh.
So, and that was in 2013, and I went to the West End,
right.
And we kind of really delved deep into dirty, dark world of secrets and data transfer and who watches us and Big Brother. So I mean, I've been a bit paranoid about it then. I mean, I'm on Facebook. I don't really use it much. I prefer Twitter.
Oh, you're a Twitter man. I think I don't really know if I care. Like, there is so much about, maybe because I'm an online personality, but there's so much about me and my life on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm not that precious about where I went to school. Like,
yeah.
You can probably find that in a library somewhere. Like, it's not even that. I mean, the information that Facebook has about me isn't that precious. Like, you don't know my deepest, darkest secrets diary entries from 1998, do you, Facebook?
Yeah. You wouldn't put it on there.
Imagine if they did, though.
Well, that, yeah.
How did you get this? This was written before Facebook existed. I saw a thing saying that Facebook, in 100 years' time, is going to have 1 billion dead user accounts.
Really?
Yeah, because everyone's going to die. The generation that went onto Facebook will have all died, and they will have 1 billion floating dead accounts. In 100 years. Creepy.
There's a script in that.
I know. What are they going to do with those 1 billion?
I don't know. You've given me an idea now.
I know.
I have to go to James Graham, ask him to write a play about it.
2084. Write that movie. And can I get a little bit of credit for it? Okay. A little bit of what's it called? Royalties.
Royalties.
There
yeah.
we go.
You're 2%.
There we go. Oh, 2%. Right, we'll talk about this in the next song. Well, if you've just joined us, we are talking to Gavin Spokes about the brand new play Quiz. It's on in London about now, all about the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I'm calling it Fandango. I nearly said falafel.
Well, you say
I'm
falafel.
I'm very tired. It's
I
the
say
end
falafel,
of the week.
You know, it's exactly.
The falafel falafel. Anyway, go see Quiz. It's brilliant in the West End if you're wondering what to spend your pennies on. Or go and see an actual pub quiz and join in, either or.
Yeah, or do both.
Or do both, because this is interactive.
On different nights. Well, actually, you can do both on the same night at the play. So.
There we go. All of them apples. Right, we are playing end credit songs from movies today.
Right.
So I'm just having a little look at what can be. I'm going to go for... Oh, this is a good one. This is Where Is My Mind by the Pixies. Do you have any idea where this movie is from? It stars a very, very fit Brad Pitt. And it's like the rule of...
This Is That We Don't Talk About.
Oh, Fight Club.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, 100 points to you,
I thought it was
Gavin.
The Romeo and Juliet one, but no.
Oh, no, no. This is Where Is My Mind? And thank you very much. We will get you on the show again for sure.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Stop.
Didn't quite. I mean, I meant to mix it that way. That was totally and completely on purpose. That was not an error on my part.
That sounded really good.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, of course, really babes. Nice. That's exactly what I was aiming for. Right, we are coming into land on Back Row and Chill, but we have got time for two guests to come into the studio. So a huge welcome to Louis Greatorow and Greatorex. Greatorex! Damn it, I was practicing this as well.
No, I quite like Greatorex.
Greatorex
sounds.
I'm going to call you
Greatorex. It's
more highbrow,
isn't it? Yeah. Louis Greatorex.
I'm going to insist everyone introduces me as that now.
I learned French a while ago, and I just got in a habit now of like knocking off the last letter on people's names. But
no,
sorry,
it makes sense.
Greater X and Mark Wyman, welcome both into the studio. I'm going to give you guys an applause because why not? It's Friday, fuck it. Okay, that's enough for applause. There we go. Right, we are here to chit chat about your show, Plastic, which is kind of. That's a cool name.
What is it about? You're going to describe it probably a lot better than I can.
Oh, okay, where'd you start? It is about four teenagers, growing up in an unnamed town in Essex.
Essex,
in
love
the
it.
90s.
Oh, wow.
So it's got this kind of undercurrent of like garage running through it, which is awesome.
Amazing.
And yeah, it's about the testing environment of school, the school playground politics, really.
And I think how your school experiences have a long-lasting impact on your life as an adult.
Oh, for sure.
I think.
Everyone remembers their school days, for good or the bad. Yeah. Like, for sure. Okay, so who do you play in there? What's your role?
Well, I play Jack. And you play Kev.
I play Kev.
Kevin Jack. Essex boys.
Kevin Jack. Actually, weirdly, we don't have any...
We don't have any
scenes.
Stuff together.
Oh,
yeah, it's a bit
odd.
Of a shame. We have like one lovely moment that we've sort of put in where I sort of have to scare you.
Yeah.
Scare you? Are you goodies or baddies?
We're all goodies.
Well, that's the existential question
complex.
Of life. Are we goodies or baddies?
But. Exactly. But it does look at that whole sort of bullying politics at school. And Kev is like the older guy who's like the cool kid at school. He's meant to be like the captain of the football team, and Lisa kind of falls in love with him. But actually, it's all about going from being a someone to a no one. That's kind of what my story is about.
And Jack's 15 all the way through, so he never really leaves that school setting. Whereas Kev, you're looking back on as how old is he?
Yeah, because he's 38.
Playing up.
I don't like playing up. It's like, no. I'm not really.
Yeah, exactly.
People get really precious about their age. I remember getting a theatre review. I did a play when I was 17, and I was playing a 19-year-old, and that's why they assumed I was 19, and they were like, Johanna James, 19. And I was like, 17.
Because you did it so well.
That's 2 years of very important, please.
Man, I've been playing like a 30 since I was like 21. I'm like finally in my casting bracket. The moment you go bald, they say you can play like 75, honestly. I could play like
Grandpa!
Any wizard. It's ridiculous.
Grandpa Joe, Charlie the Chocolate Factory, got the roles. It's all right though for guys, because you can kind of, 30 plus, you hit your that's where the prime roles are, I would say.
Yeah, dad role.
Yeah, that's like all the good juicy stuff's, I think, when you're 30 onwards.
Oh, big time.
But for women, it's just like, oh, you know, 30, and get, go.
Yeah, very true.
Or you can play the grandma. I'm 31. Grandma. Off you go. Yeah, so Placid, that's so cool. It says here in the little PR thing, remember the moment you became an adult. What would you say that was for you guys?
Remember the moment when we became an adult?
Yeah, like in real life.
In real life. I don't know if that moment's happened yet.
I was thinking that as well. I was like, am I an adult? I think one of the measurements for becoming an adult is when you know when the clocks go forward and back.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you know that, if you're the clocks are going forward, British summertime.
I got really excited about buying a Dyson Hoover last year. And for me, that was like a big moment in realising like I'm old. Maybe adult.
Yeah.
Maybe adult. Mm.
Well, I've spent this last year realising how much money actually gets taken off you.
Oh yeah,
by everyone.
Yeah, we're just talking
so
about
I think
stuff.
That might be.
I think
might
it's
have
like
for me.
Taxes. I feel when
you're
not
like a mugging one.
No, yeah, like officially taken from you. But I think it leaves you the same feeling. You know, like a school bully who will sort of take your pocket money or take your dinner money, and you're like, oh, I really wanted to eat today. And this is the same way that you do all this work, and then you're like, oh, they're just going to get. But I didn't. You didn't do the work.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, Mum! But she can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's it.
She didn't care.
The show touches on that stuff. It really does. It touches
becoming
on all those
adult.
Sort of things.
I feel like I feel quite young. I feel quite hip and cool. Not when I did that. But then I feel quite like 18, 19. And then I actually hang around with 18, 19-year-olds. And I'm like, I'm definitely not 18, 19.
Yeah,
I'm
true.
More than happy to be nearer the 30s. Yeah, it's a weird one. We don't want to age. But we don't necessarily want to be young.
Oh, that's what I've loved about this show, because the rehearsal process, like the cast, we must mention Maddie and Tom as well, because they're amazing actors, but also just our rehearsal room has been so much fun. And like I keep saying it to Maddie, especially, I keep saying like I feel 17 again, literally just from doing this show, which
amazing
is so nice.
Plug there, amazing link back. I like the
yeah,
start.
That, yeah,
was,
there
that was a smooth
way
back
in.
To the play plastic. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about Plastic. Where is it on?
The Old Red Lion.
The Old Red Lion
Angel.
Till the 21st?
Yeah.
21st.
Of
yeah.
This month.
And then Which we go on a little.
What is this month?
What is this month?
I know, we were here going. April. This month is this month till the end of the calendar month, which is this month.
Yes, it's definitely it's this month. April. And not into May.
Amazing. And how did you guys get the role? Did you rock up an audition, just land it, or you pay someone off? Be honest.
I had to audition. I don't know about you, Mr. Wildman.
No, I had to audition. Of course I did, yeah. I never worked with Josh before, the director. Kind of knew Kenny, the writer, a little bit, but I sent the script and I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I thought there wasn't a chance in hell that I'd get the part. I turned up to the audition and did it and then left thinking I was awful.
It's always those ones, isn't it? Yeah. You're like, oh, I didn't even blink, I didn't breathe. And then you get it. Yeah. And then the ones where you think you did good, it's like, obviously went straight on the burn.
Yeah,
weird, it's a weird way that it works. So I think maybe don't stress, don't try. I mean, do try, but like...
No, I think you're right.
Don't stress about it. Yeah. I think people, casting directors, pick up on those vibes as well.
Yeah. It's very hard to play it cool, but you do get a better response, I find, if you do turn up to an audition and play it a bit like you're not desperate to get the part.
Yeah. Mm. A little pinch of Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen.
Just a little bit fucking whatever. I can get kicked off my Hollywood show and I'm still fucking rock.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's about being able to like forget about it as well. When you walk out of the room, just be like, okay, how can I put it? Which is easier said than done, obviously, but...
I think people... I've got like, quite a few actor friends and a couple of them, or one in particular, it was hard because he would never speak about his auditions. But, oh, how did it go? Just genuinely, you know, good, bad... I don't speak about auditions.
No, I completely
don't touch the juju and the voodoo and all this sort of stuff. Or it's like, all right, sorry. I mean, how was your lunch? Like, you know, I think.
Do you know that?
No. I understand that completely.
Oh, right.
I mean,
there's a certain. Do you have any little routines or little OCDs you have before an audition? Do you have to
try and
pat your head 20 times before you go in? Or I used to have a lucky pair of. Well, I thought they were a lucky pair of boots. I just happened to get quite a lot of stuff when I wore these like red velvet boots. And
can I have them?
Yeah, we can just we can just. Like, I've got an audition on Tuesday. Where are the boots? Yeah. And I love these boots. And also, they're also a talking point. A lot of people are like, oh, I love your boots. And it was a good icebreaker. And then the whole sole ripped off the edge, and I can't find a replacement pair. So I'm taking that as a sign that maybe I shouldn't hang on to my lucky boots. And
so now you just carry them to the auditions.
I just take a photo. I'm like, guys, I used to wear these boots. If we could just look at these boots. Thank you. I'll have the role now, please. Thank you very much. So what is going to be? Have we got anything else in the pipeline after?
Not
that is a horrible question to ask, and I feel bad asking it because it's like the actor's worst nightmare. Like, I'm unemployed after this.
Yeah, no. I mean, meeting for some really cool stuff, but I've got a little holiday to Poland planned, and that's
Poland. That's what are you gonna do? Never been to Poland.
Me neither.
Oh, cool.
No, me neither. We're just climbing some mountains, I think.
That's a cool holiday.
Yeah.
I have written a play for National Youth Theatre, so that goes into rehearsals in June, and then I start a little telly thing, but it's just a small role.
Just a small role, you know, just like fucking BBC, you know. Like
No. It's a lovely job. I'm not talking about it, but it's just a small
hashtag role. Humble.
It's not like a.
That's amazing. Talking about like going on walking and stuff and being an adult and everything. Well, my mum used to drag me and my brothers up and down the Lake District, and I'd be like, "Not another mountain, mum! Oh my god, just want to stay inside and watch Cartoon Network." And then now, I'm quite the other day. I was like to my friends, "I'm like, should we go for a walk?
Yeah,
should we go walking? I quite fancy a picnic. Should we picnic somewhere?" I was like, "I've turned into my mum."
That's another adult thing. I think like,
oh my god,
when
I appreciate
you really
a walk.
Appreciate a walk. That is another adult thing.
Go and see nature. Yeah. Like I'm just like, wow. I've gone full circle. If anyone at home has got anything that they do that they've realised their parents do, please just tweet us at FUBAR Radio and we will shout you out. One thing that used to bug me so much about my dad driving, he used to, in the car, he would drum. He's a drummer, and he would drum on the steering wheel with his hands, and he'd be like, and it used to bug me, and I couldn't really be like, just stop drumming because it's his car, whatever. And then now, when I'm in a traffic light, I'll be there and I'll subconsciously be like, whoa, I'm my dad!
They do the whole... This is probably the worst thing to do for radio, but they put the hand behind the passenger seat when they're rehearsing.
Yeah.
The dad arm. So they jump back with them. And you're like, why did they always do that? But yet they're all amazing at parking, so maybe it's like a trick.
Maybe you
should try it.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks
we've
for
been talking
us.
About plastic. Get yourself down to the red
Lion.
Theatre in London. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
We're going to end the show. Oh, what song am I going to end it on? Let's do My Sharona from the Ramones. Let's end it on a high. You know, we can boogie out the studio. I hope you guys have a fabulous Friday
you
night.
Too. You too. Enjoy your weekend.
We will see you guys next week on the next episode of Back Row and Chill Episode. Oh, they're now episodes. Episode. Lovely. I like that. Note that down, producers. The episode.